Digg.
And I'm Hannah Hampton, and you're listening to HR After Hours.
Well, hello and welcome to HR After Hours podcast, the only HR podcast to be escorted forcibly out of a Raffi concert. I'm sorry, but when Hannah hears him break into Baby Beluga, the top comes off. Hannah Hampton, my sister from another mister.
That's
how the
hilarious.
Heck are you today?
I'm great. And I love you got. Okay. So I know I've said this to our listeners before, but I don't know what you're going to say before you say it. And I think that was one of my favorite reactions because you got a what out of me. So it was almost little John. What?
Yeah. I was worried about not getting it on the first take. It was more than a mouthful. Insert innuendo here. So what is going on with you today?
I don't think our listeners know this. Well, some of our listeners know this. Stacia Beaverhausen does know this, but I'm a Formula One fan, and so is my husband. And today, the day we're recording, kicks off the new season. So I have a little bit of race fever. So
I enjoy sports. I can watch it brunch. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. I like that. That's very interesting. So I'm not a big sports person myself. But this is one that I do enjoy, but I'm not going to be watching, you know, I like baseball only if I'm actually at the game. I'm not going to watch baseball on television. I really don't watch college sports. It's not my jam, but Formula One is. But I love that. Like, I like a sport I can watch during brunch.
So typically, if we're going to put sports on at lunch, it's tennis. Actually, I watch a lot of world premier soccer at brunch as well. I'm a Manchester
Aren't
City fan.
Aren't you hoity-toity?
Soccer and tennis.
Ooh, soccer and tennis.
Let me be very clear. There's nothing hoity-toity about being a Manchester City fan. Tennis, I'll tell you, I'll allow you to bust
my top. That's very bottom two.
Well played, Hannah. Well played indeed.
Well, anyways, well, that was fun.
I'll get back to work.
I guess, okay. We'll do it.
Let's talk a little HR. It was funny. I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about today. And I sent over a couple links. You sent one at the last minute. And I like yours. So
thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the article. This is a pretty new article that you threw our way.
So I found this on HR Dive, which is our, I love HR Dive. Thank you for your great work, HR Dive people, HR divers, HR diving. I don't know. But there is an article that's published just days ago from when we recorded this by Emily Shumway, and it's Younger Generations Show Dramatic Decline in Engagement, Gallup says. So there was a Gallup poll about the workplace, which of course they do those all the time. But basically, the poll is saying the workplace has seen a dramatic drop in engagement over the past few years among millennials and Gen Z workers, so the younger workers. And certainly it says, while baby boomers are slightly more engaged, all other generations saw slides in their level of engagement. So older millennials fell from 39% to 32%. Younger millennials and Gen Z went from 40% to 35%. And Gen X, which thank you for not ignoring us, Gen X fell from 35% to 31%. You know, this lack of engagement can cause issues for retention. So younger workers will be increasingly more likely to be actively looking for new jobs, watching for openings, or even taking calls from recruiters. That was it. It's a poll I am personally not totally surprised about, but you know, Mick, what are your initial thoughts about this poll?
I am not surprised at all. So definitely are in the same camp there. Just to put things into perspective, I think it's interesting. The older millennials, that's the sharpest drop at 7%, 39 to 32. Gen Z with a 5% drop. Even though Gen X only fell 4%, it is the lowest of the three.
Yeah.
So Gen X is 31%. Older millennials, which again, older millennials and Gen Z, not that far apart, they're only 1% more engaged than Gen X, and then Gen Z, 35%, which is where Gen X was. So again, Gen Z is eventually following Gen X. It doesn't surprise me at all. I witness it firsthand, probably every couple of days at work. I can see it in whether it's candidates or even talking to clients. So on a recruiting side, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, this all matches up, but it's the cause of these numbers where we can really talk shop. So yeah, I will let you move forward.
Yeah. Well, certainly. And, you know, I have yet to take a look at the Gallup actual data. So that's something that I would love to dig into. But I certainly feel like there are lots of things that we can point to. But, you know, if you think about it, this decline has consistently been happening since 2020. And what's happened since 2020? You know, folks, I feel like there a lot of things have happened. We dealt with a pandemic. We dealt with lots of layoffs then. Then we had hiring booms, and then we had layoffs again. So I feel like a lot of that has truly affected people's thoughts on the workplace, where they feel very expendable. Like, you know, you think about the older baby boomers that graduated from college, took a job at the bank, and stayed there until they got their gold watch and retired. You don't see that anymore. That is just not happening. So the loyalty, I say, I feel goes both ways. So with more and more employers being okay with rounds of layoffs, laying off regularly, I mean, I've worked in retail where certainly rounds of layoffs, companies that do regular layoffs and house cleaning, it's not unusual. So why would you feel loyal to a company that shows you no loyalty? So to me, I feel like number one, there's a lack of loyalty out there. I don't see that going away. That's my number one guess, idea, thought. What are your thoughts about causes?
Oh, you couldn't be more on the nose. I mean, that's absolutely it. I mean, in the past, people followed more of the boomer philosophy. The companies got my loyalty because they gave me a job. You know, you're lucky to have a job. And there was just this mindset. We've survived wars. We're back home. The economy's booming. And whoever we find a job with, we should be loyal because they gave us an opportunity. And that was just it. And you came home from a rough day and you either took it out on your family or you whined about it. And someone told you, hey, man, stop whining. At least you have a job. You have a good job, whatever it is. And it's the equivalent of a sports injury as a child and being told to rub some dirt on it. Those old-fashioned philosophies that there are spatterings in certain parts of the U.S. still part of the driving force, and that's just considered what's the good old American way. But I think that has definitely become the minority lately in business philosophies where, you know, it's the same thing. It's the gaps in resumes. You know, you held on to a job for X amount of time, even if you're miserable, because you know, if you were in the front half of your career, because you didn't want to ruin your resume. But someone enforced that, right? The hiring managers and created that culture and that buzz. It comes from the employer. Well, you know, I'm not going to hire someone that has worked at their last two jobs just a year. And instead of looking at, if I really look at this picture after interviewing this individual, I'm surprised they even went to work for this company. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting thing because I do feel like it's nice. And as much as I dislike social media, and I'm on it, don't get me wrong, but I know I've talked about my kind of disdain for LinkedIn. One thing I do think it's positive that comes from that is the sharing that knowledge or sharing like, hey, it is okay to hire somebody with a gap in their resume. It is okay to hire somebody who's jumped around and really sharing the positive sides of things. Because I know people who still have that mindset of like, well, they were laid off. It must have been because of their performance. And it's like, well, we live in a day and age. It's not about performance. It's about the shareholders and showing the shareholders, this is how we're going to make profits better. And it's by cutting teams of people, getting rid of headcount. So I feel like the nice thing about social media, it does the education piece where it's like, hey, you are going to see gaps in resumes from 2020 on because 2020, a ton of people got laid off. And then there was that big tech boom that happened in 2021 where all these companies are like, oh, you know, technology, that's where it is. People are working remotely. We, you know, need more people. We're working faster. People are doing things online. So there was that big boom. And then now all of a sudden over the past like year, 2 years, there have been massive layoffs in tech. It's been a crazy time. And you just continue every day to see more and more companies lay people off. You see consulting companies lay people off. So it's a very interesting time. And I think that's a good thing, though, for those who have been affected that recruiters, hiring managers, companies see that you know, more often than not, you're going to find somebody who's been affected by a layoff. You're going to see a gap in your resume and you need to move forward from that and still hire them. And if you, I will be on my soapbox for just one more point. I also feel like that there's also that big push for mental health. And sometimes people take career breaks. Maybe they do it to take care of themselves. Maybe they're taking a career break to take care of a family member. Maybe they're taking a career break because they have aging parents. And we need to be, we meaning the HR community, recruiters, hiring managers, CEOs, need to be more understanding of like people who are living their lives and doing what's right for them versus like how things are going to look on their resume. And I'm stepping off of my soapbox.
Well, let me scooch right over here and jump on right next to you because I have a few things and it's funny. The whole piece of being understanding as an employer and as a hiring manager is twofold. It's not just understanding in a way that you empathize and you know, quote unquote, get it. It's just understanding that you've got to really learn how to read a resume in the interviewing process more so than ever right now. Because even some of the best recruiters or talent acquisition managers have had a tendency to still hold on to some old steadfast, you know, rules like the jumping around. Or here's the big one, and this is the one I think is the most important today, is people leaving their field of interest and then coming back.
Yeah.
In a lot of industries, there seems to be a stigma. Well, if they left, that means they're facing burnout and they're not going to last as long with us. They just came back to this industry because this is where they can get the most money. You better talk to that person before you assume all of that off of a resume. You can no longer have a good sense of what a person's going through professionally by looking at their resume. And I'll give you an example. You know, worrying about someone burning out because they left the industry, especially around the pandemic. If I had my real estate license in 2020 that I could dust off and focus on real estate for a year during the housing boom and make hundreds of thousands of dollars in 12 months, I would challenge my intelligence if I did not do that. So when I see people that have done real estate, let's for a span of 1 to 2.5 to even 3 years, 2020 to 2023, I don't hold that against them at all, because why would you not seize that opportunity to make great money? And if you were able to hold two jobs at once and you know the market, if you're any good at what you do as a real estate agent and you had an opportunity and didn't utilize it during that boom, why? That's the real question, not why did you do it? Why wouldn't you do it? Why didn't you do it?
You know, and why wouldn't you want to hire somebody who wasn't afraid of, I don't want to say afraid of failing, but wasn't afraid of trying something new, somebody who's courageous. I feel like that somebody who's going to, you know, jump when the, you know, or strike when the iron's hot, you know, I feel like that those are all really great things. I remember once I had hired somebody, and on her resume, she definitely had worked at a number of places, but within it, she'd also been an entrepreneur where she had started a business of her own and then decided to go back to, you know, go back to working for somebody else. And she had this attitude of like, I got to go for it. I've got to try. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And she's somebody I'd hire again in a heartbeat and not worry about like, well, if she only wants to be with us for 2 years, I feel like that'd be 2 years of having somebody who's smart, somebody who's got an entrepreneurial spirit, somebody who's going to be willing to try new things to help us be a better business. So I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with hiring somebody who has taken breaks, you know, went out on their own, because that's somebody who's going to not be afraid to try things. And I feel like, you know, with those bigger risks becomes the opportunity for bigger rewards. So that's the type of person that I certainly would want to have in my company. If I can kind of switch gears here. So, you know, of course, we could sit here all day and talk about this poll and talk about, you know, what companies are doing wrong to cause it. But I want to talk a little bit about what are some things that companies can do right. Some of the things that we need to look at is company culture. I don't want to say this is a little bit of selfish of me, but I recently read the book, The Culture Code by Daniel Coyle. And I really enjoyed it. And basically, it was about three things: asking managers, asking companies to do three things for their employees that will create a really strong company culture where people want to stick around, where people want to work hard for you. Skill number one to build is about building safety. So creating a really safe environment for people to fail, creating a safe environment for people to excel, for people to belong. Skill number two is share vulnerability. Like if you fuck up, and pardon my French, but if you fuck up, admit to it. Hey, I made a mistake. Here's what we're going to do to fix it. Here's what we're going to learn from it. Here's how we're going to move forward. And then number three, which it's kind of, I like that this one's the last one because it's talked about in the poll, and it's establishing purpose, especially with the younger workforce today. They want to work for a company that has a purpose that they can identify with. So that, and that's straight from the Gallup poll, the younger generation really want to be aligned with what the company is doing. So, you know, gone are the days, but you're going to be less likely to see somebody working for a company where they don't feel good about, you know, what they're putting back into the world. So I feel like we're going to see a lot of boom with, you know, the B companies that are really interested in, you know, being sustainable, about doing, giving back to communities, doing good things for the world, and not just all about hoarding profit, making the CEO a billionaire, making billionaires trillionaires, and not caring about other people. So I think those are all really important things to think about.
I don't think you could be more right. There are things that you've hit that really impact hiring, retention, and operation. The days of someone just coming in and being happy to have that job and the opportunity and that just being automatic loyalty and they're there for 20 years, those days are gone. If you're a company that because you have to constantly react to your quarterly reports and your revenues and your stockholders and you do these systematic layoffs, you do not even realize yet how much your talent pool is shrinking. I definitely respect the younger generation and the fact that they want to work for a company where they respect what the company's doing. And like you said, they feel like they're contributing. And really, the thing is, the heightened awareness of a collaborative work environment. Very rarely does someone say, oh, I'm willing to go in, put in my 5 years of working 85 hours and then, you know, putting away this money and then everything's going to be easier. I just got to pay my dues, but that, you know, I'm going to be compensated for it. There's still those people out there. And we've discussed that over the years in various ways, but ultimately no one cares about the widget anymore. The widget is a source of income. They want to know what the widget does, how it impacts other businesses, what it does to the environment, how they're contributing by being a part of the manufacturing and distribution and marketing of this widget, how it's making the world a better place. But the big thing is they want to feel important. They want to be recognized. That loyalty is a two-way street. If you're treating them like they're just a performance metric, and if you're still a metrics-driven HR department, get the hell out of there because those days are so gone. Companies we talked about that do these layoffs and they're going to hire you back when sales are up and whatever, they don't even know how much their talent pool is decreasing because it's not just decreasing from the younger end. Now people in Gen X and above are now saying, well, this is a bullshit job. I'm out.
Yeah.
And we
The writing's on the wall. The writing's on the wall of those companies because I have two personal friends, and I'm not going to share too much about it because it's their story to tell, but who are with companies for 20 plus years. So almost their entire, if not the majority of their professional life, and they were laid off. And I'm like, well, that tells you something, you know? And I feel like that you are losing, like, I feel like you're losing cheerleaders because, you know, sometimes if you leave a company to get a better job or for changing careers or whatever, you can still be a cheerleader for that company and be like, yeah, that was an amazing place to work. I loved it there. They were great to their people. But I'm like, when you're laying off employees who've been at places for 20 plus years, I'm like, you're just going to create haters of your brand. And I feel like that, again, is the writing on the wall. Are you a sinking ship? what is the purpose of letting people go? And then, you know, if I want to get back on my, like, let's bitch about this, you'll also see big layoffs happening, but they still have jobs that they're hiring for in their website. Now, I get it. Not every skill is going to translate, but you couldn't find some of those laid off people to fill those positions. I'm sorry. If I saw that you laid off 10% of your workforce, but you have 50 jobs on your website, there's no fucking way that I'm applying to that job. Mm-mm, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And that is something that I really pushed on last year, looking at the individual talent you have to make those type of decisions. Instead of just saying, we're going to eliminate 30% of this department and just do it. First, look at those people that are on the elimination list and see what transferable skills do they have. There are a lot of companies that don't even consider that. They don't go beyond the metric, you know, the throughput, the numbers, the department. And if you don't know your people well enough to find positions for the truly talented people that have done good for you in the past, then something I hear some of those millennials say quite often jokingly, but honestly, if you can't find a person, you know, a place for that person, go fuck yourself. Because everything you're saying makes sense. Where I think we're saying the same thing from a couple different points. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about looking at that business that continuously lays off people, but then turns around and hires more, that's always made my head just hurt. But companies could get away with it in the past because of the name of the company or what their widget was.
Well, and I will say, somebody said this recently and it really stuck with me. Our economy and society is built around companies and not around people. Our society wasn't built to help people. It was built to help companies and to help the rich stay rich. And I feel like, I know that's going to sound a little, you know, I don't know, a little something of me, but, you know, if you really take a deep dive and look at it, like there's so many laws and tax laws that protect big companies. And we live in a double income. You need to have a double income to have a successful household. I recently had a conversation with somebody who works two jobs. And they said to me, they're like, well, I live in a two income society, but I'm a single person. So I had to get a second job. I don't know. It's a sad state out there. And I feel like companies are not doing anything to make it better for people. It's all about profits and not about people. And if that's how your company is doing things, I don't see that as a long-term success strategy.
No, you're not going to be staffed in the future. You're not going to still exist. When it comes down to it, the future of your business is still very dependent on the quality of people you can attract and retain. Mm-hmm. And if you're not attracting those people, you know, Hannah, you referred to the brand. You're not doing your brand well. Being a prospective hire, I'm calling it your business cred. The way you build business cred is doing great things by your people, promoting the right people internally, having sustainable people practices, not laying off, making things work, or if you have to lay off, if that's just the structure you have, being more strategic and not general about it, rewarding those that have put in the time for you and the effort, regardless of what their current position is. That is how you earn business cred. That is the new moniker I'm going to give it. I'm going to call it your business cred. It's that employer of choice piece. And if you don't build on that separate part of your brand, you are going to be in big trouble faster than you realize. The end of this boomer segment of the industry is actually not too far off from the millennial. I know, I just heard this story yesterday. A gentleman who was just a little over 60 had started a new role. It just wasn't what he thought it was. And within 2 weeks, he just quit. And his resume does not show anyone that would ever do that on paper. But you know what it was? It just wasn't worth it to him. The setup and the pay and what he was going to do and the time he was going to be away from home. This was a route sales driver role. And he said, you know, I'm 60 years old. This job just has too much bullshit in it. Yeah. And it doesn't need to be this difficult. I don't need it. Thank you for the opportunity. It's not a fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for him, though, because I think that's amazing, because certainly I love that nowadays people are realizing life is too short. And when you're on your deathbed and God willing, you know, you make it to old age, you're not going to think about, I wish I would have worked more. And I know everyone says that, but I feel like it's true. And I feel like when I've left jobs and I've quit to take other opportunities, and my only regrets are, man, I should have taken more time off. I should have called in sick when I didn't feel good, you know, and all of those things. It's like, it's not like, oh, I wish I would have given more to this company. No, I always give a lot, and I work hard, but I certainly, you know, it's all about that balance, and you got to take care of yourself. And at the end of the day, they're not going to be with you. It's not your family. It's not your loved ones. It's your job. It's what helps you pay the bills. So I am okay treating it as such. Now, do I think people should go to work and do great work? Yeah. But you also have to give them an inspiring workplace, and you have to treat them with respect, and you have to pay them fairly, and all of those pieces, we all know that creates a great work environment for people. You should not give your life to a company. I think everyone deserves their time off. Everyone deserves their personal time. You should not have to work 13-hour days to be successful, because I feel like if you're working 13-hour days, there is something wrong there. Unless, you know, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm starting my own business. I work 24 hours a day. Great. You. But if you're working for somebody else, especially if you're salaried, you should not be working 13-hour days, because you are just making your hourly rate less and less by the more time that you're giving to them. So know your worth and work towards that.
We always say, don't bring a problem if you don't have the solution. Well, I think the solution, a lot of solutions were inferred in this. Ultimately, if you're going to seize a couple nuggets here, one of the big ones is, as the leader of a team, if you're hiring for a position that has seen a lot of turnover and people don't tend to make it in that role very long, and you may be like, well, they just have to report to Ed and Ed's tough, and that's just, you know, I got to hire more thick-skinned people. No, this is the time to get to the root of the problems, because not only are you going to continue to turn and burn people in that role, you're going to turn and burn them quicker because they're not putting up with it as long as they were before 2020. So You've really got to go in and find the solutions to some of these problems that are driving people off, because it's not about hiring someone that's a little tougher or has that quote unquote old school mentality. It is the fact that you have got to fix the problem. And if you've got a manager or a leader who you've made excuses for, or you just keep waiting for them to retire because they're old school, man, if you do that, their problems are definitely going to become your problems more frequently and in quicker bursts, because this is not the talent pool that's going to just stick it out until Ed retires. I've seen people interview and say, well, the person you're going to report to is tough, but I'm telling you, they'll make you a great operator and they're not going to be around forever. If I ever heard someone say that to me that I was interviewing with, I would shake their hand and say, well, thanks for the heads up. No reason to waste my time or yours. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot more thick-skinned, or actually more in the wrong, that I've put up with things that I shouldn't have in the past, that I wouldn't make that mistake again, right?
Yeah.
It's hitting in multiple generations from all sides, and it's going to become a Black Hawk Down type of situation if you've just worked around these issues, these lack of culture pieces or whatever in the past. You may not have what it takes to work around them in the future and be successful. Hannah Hampton, anything you want to close with?
Nope, that was good. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to quote Mrs. Hannah Hampton there and say, let's put the human back in human resources. Hannah,
do it.
Have a great day.
You too.